Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Just last week, on November 27th, Jimi Hendrix, born Johnny Allen, would have turned 79. Of course, he's no longer with us, but the music he left behind is. And there's a lot to the guitar's story that you may not know, with lessons of inspiration that we could all use. Growing up in Seattle, Hendrix was born into a difficult family situation, with his mother leaving Jimmy at a young age. As a result, he grew up loving to listen and play the blues, writing songs like this.
Well, I wait around train station, waiting for that train, waiting for the train, yeah, to take me from this lonesome place.
That's an acoustic version of Hear My Train Coming from Jimi Hendrix. But have you ever considered what kids could learn from the musician? For my next guest, award-winning poet and children's book author Charles R. Smith, Hendrix's story is perfect for kids, so much so that he wrote a book about it. Charles writes that the book is, quote, dedicated to all the outcasts, misfits, and unique individuals who, like Jimi, want to wave their freak flag high. Titled Song for Jimi, the story of a guitar legend, Jimi Hendrix. The book is illustrated by Adele Rodriguez, and it's out now. Charles Smith, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. So glad to be able to talk about Song for Jimi.
I love that you write in the book, as I began hearing more, I remember telling my mother I was getting into him, and she said she never liked Jimi because he was too loud, but that's exactly why I liked him. What
Indeed.
About the loudness of Jimi Hendrix made you like him so much or identify with him?
I think it was more the fact that here was this guy that was so innovative and different, not just in terms of what he was playing, but what he looked like in terms of how he dressed and the style that he brought, that it caught my eye. And the fact that he was a black musician not playing what would have at the time when he became big, what would have been traditional, you know, like R&B and soul and such, that he was playing rock. He was in a different field and he was kind of a, you know, he was on an island. And I identified with that because when I really latched on to him was when I was in college and I was the only black student in my school. Now, granted, it wasn't a huge school. It was only about 750 and everybody was cool, you know, but nonetheless, when you're the only one of anything, you can kind of feel it. And when I saw him, not necessarily saw him, but when I heard him and then I got to actually see him, then I connected instantly because of his individuality.
You wrote this book in a verse structure with some verses flowing with the same cadence as some of Hendrix's songs. Why did you want to write the story this way? Did it come naturally or was this just something you always had in mind?
It was something I've always had in mind. I have over 30 plus children's books and I write for the most part in verse. I'm a poet. Mm-hmm. So I have a biography that I did on Muhammad Ali that's written in verse, biography on boxer Jack Johnson. It's written in verse. So most of my books are written in verse. Giving it the song structure was a little different for this, but it fit perfectly because, you know, he is a musician. And I knew that I would take each verse and that would be equated with a different style of music that he was learning or living, you know, at the time. So the very first verse is Jimmy's Blues, which taps into shows his childhood upbringing and the amount of pain and anguish that he endured and how that would propel him to not only learn music, but to practice it in the manner that he did, which was all the time and fervently.
I'd love for you to read a little bit from the book so people can understand it and understand the rhythms and the cadences we're talking about.
Yes. So I will start with something from the very first verse, Jimmy's Blues, because if you don't know how he was raised and what kind of became the fire that was lit in him, then it becomes a little harder to understand the rest of the story. But once you do hear it, then you understand completely. So verse one, Jimmy Blue, from verse one, Jimmy's Blues. So Jimmy lived the blues. Oh yeah, Jimmy lived the blues, from his tattered family tree to his cardboard soled shoes. But buried deep beneath his beat up family tree were roots made strong by the blood of Cherokee, warrior roots from his grandmother that gave Jimmy strength. So Jimmy taught himself to draw what his words couldn't say. And each picture that boy drew blew his blues away. But Jimmy's imagination really began to bloom when he listened to the radio and strummed along with his broom. Elvis, Little Richard, Muddy Waters, and Buddy Holly, B.B. King, John Lee Hooker, and Big Bill Brunzy all filled Jimmy's ears with their guitar sound, a sound so sweet that soon Jimmy found his fingers plucking every day and every night with that broom, and soon Jimmy began to dream his broom was a guitar. Then Jimmy began to dream he was a guitar superstar. Then I'm going to advance to later in his life. So that was when he was a kid learning, literally learning to play guitar. So now we progress where not only has he learned, but he is now becoming a star in London. He's beginning to basically work on his first album. Looking back on life, Jimmy began to write stories of peace, stories of strife, memories of heartbreak, memories of love, dreams of angels in the heavens above, warrior stories of Cherokee ancestry, lovesick blues, science fiction and fantasy, heartfelt lines about happy times, blues-filled lines about ugly times, no food, no shelter, without a dime kinds of times. Yeah, Jimmy lived those blues that filled song lyric rhymes, but Jimmy's guitar was the star that made his words shine. Fast, slow, heavy or light, Jimmy's range on the guitar made Jimmy shine bright. But dig, back home in America, no one knew Jimmy's name. But once the album came out, that would soon change. See, Jimmy received a life-changing invite that involved a musical festival and an overseas flight. The three-day festival needed a show-stopping finish, so one of the Beatles recommended the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Yeah, Jimmy stood as a groovy genius of the strings, just 10 years removed from his broom at age 14. Now, age 24, Jimmy's star would shoot higher when he touched down in California to set America on fire.
That's from Song for Jimmy, the story of Jimi Hendrix, speaking to its author, Charles R. Smith. Okay, there's a bunch of different things I want to pull out from there. You spell guitar, G-I-T-T-A-R.
Yes.
Through the whole book. Why is it guitar?
Well, because to me, like, that's his instrument, and that's his, that becomes kind of his sword, you know, that I believe, his shield, his weapon in overcoming the blues, you know, that he was born with. And it's funny you would ask about that, because my editor, you know, is great. I love him. This is the third book that I've done with him. And he asked about that. And he's like, I don't know if the librarian is going to give us a hard time because of the spelling. And I said, that's what's called poetic license. Because when you're reading it like that, you have to kind of stop and focus on the word guitar. And it kind of gives it a little, you know, twang to it. It's that poetic license that you wouldn't get if it was just a regular story.
Next thing I want to pull out, the broomstick reference.
Yes.
Did he truly begin practicing or pretending to practice on a broomstick?
Yeah. I mean, once he really latched on to music as a kind of a therapeutic way to enjoy and express himself, he grabbed the first thing that he could to, you know, mimic that. And that was a broom. He graduated to a one-string ukulele and then graduated to a beat-up acoustic until at age 16, he got his first guitar.
And finally, a few mentions of his Cherokee heritage.
Yes.
Was that really important to him?
It was. It really was, because there was a point when I mentioned early in the book where, you know, where he's dealing with the blues and such and living it. And it was his grandmother, you know, he's basically kind of, you know, sad and kind of really, you know, he's not happy, And he would get happy when his grandmother told him how he came of warrior. He was born of warrior blood. This is his ancestry. And that gave him some inner strength that he was able to latch on to. And she would tell him lots of different stories throughout the years. And he drew from that strength, not just from internally as a person, but then later on as he began writing his songs and such.
At one point, Jimi Hendrix lives near in our dear city in Harlem, where he won first place at the Apollo Theater amateur contest.
Yes.
How did that transition from Nashville, where he was before, to Harlem go?
It was a big difference, but the funny thing was it was a big difference, but almost the same difference in that it was a big difference in that Nashville was segregated in the music. If you were a black musician, you played, you know, this kind of music. If you're a white musician, you played that kind of music, and there was no crossing. And so he was a little tired of that. He wanted to do his own thing. He didn't want to be placed into a box. So he moved to New York. And when you're a black person and you move to New York, particularly in that time period, you're going to move to Harlem. But when he got to Harlem, it was pretty much the same, because he was viewed as an R&B, you know, guitar player. So those are the groups that hired him, groups like the Isley Brothers and such. And, you know, he could play the music and stuff, but he would, you know, you give him an inch and that guitar would start wailing and screaming, and he wanted to do his own thing. And so instead of staying uptown, he ended up going downtown, where he found a more eclectic mix of music in the Village, where he was able to experiment a lot more and do, you know, more of what he wanted to do.
We're talking about the new children's book, Song for Jimmy, the story of Jimi Hendrix. Charles R. Smith is my guest. So I think the question that probably a lot of people who know the history of Jimi Hendrix are wondering, because he died so young and because he likely died of drug use or the outcomes of drug use, talk to me a little bit about how you thought about that, because it's not included in the book. The book ends on an up note. But that truth, that's part of, if a kid says, "Mom, what happened to Jimi Hendrix?"
Yeah, it is a part of the truth. But, you know, the funny thing is, so first I'll begin on the structure of the book and that such. But when you're doing a children's biography in particular, you're usually not spanning the whole life. Mm-hmm. You're spanning a very specific period. And even in this book, it actually examines a pretty wide, you know, area of his life, because it goes from birth to when he becomes a star. So actually, that's a pretty good chunk of time in his life, as opposed to many other children's books, biographies. I did make the decision to not include his death, because in many of my biographies, I wouldn't include it. And I knew that it would pop up. But the thing was, when I did research, pretty much every single book that I have, it would, you know, what I've talked about in the book only made up a very small fraction of the book. And then the rest would talk about the tragedy of his death. And I felt like that became kind of the connection to his name. Like, we hear Jimi Hendrix, he died early, drugs. Mm-hmm. Nothing in between, you know, not how he taught himself to play the guitar, how he learned a song every day. And so I wanted to focus on the triumph of his life over the tragedy. And so it's not so much, you know, brushing it aside, because, you know, you really can't, because people will call you out on it. It's more that, okay, we've heard all of those stories. We've heard all of that about him. Let's focus on the triumph of his life. So that's what we could spend our time talking about. Because if, you know, if you're talking to somebody for 5 minutes and you spend 4.5 on his death, you know, then you don't get a chance to understand and enjoy how he came to be what he came to be.
Quick shout out to the illustrator.
Oh, for sure. Edel killed it, for sure. When we had the idea, when I turned the book in to my editor, we said we wanted to, you know, take that 60s rock psychedelic kind of look. And we thought of Peter Max and that style. And so we went out looking for somebody who could, you know, take it that direction. And not only did he take it in that direction, reminiscent of the 60s, it's boldly unique to modern time. Yeah. So And the thing that I love about it more than anything is, you know, and Adele has been asked this question. They says, you know, wow, how did you get the colors and the this and the that? And he credits, you know, the words.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most people think that, you know, we get hired at the same time and we're in a room talking. And
I want to make sure people, before we have to wrap, I want to make sure people get the name of the book. Song for Jimmy, The Story of Guitar Legend Jimi Hendrix by Charles Smith. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And that is all of it for today.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.